listening to this show so they can pick up some crumbs of knowledge from you. Do not let them down. You better make sure that we can hear you, or I'm going to be mad as hell, okay?
All right, well, I'm here. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, how's you it? Sound like you're bubbling. Hang up now and call back, because right now we're going to Charles anyway, Charles the lawyer. Charles, are you here?
Yes, R.A., how are you?
Yeah, you know what?
Good
I know
call.
That's just your voice. You have to talk a little louder.
No,
you don't go to court. Do you go to court? Is your mouth by the phone?
Yeah, my mouth's by the phone. I'm on a landline.
Okay.
Am I coming through? Does it sound like I'm at the bottom of a pool?
Everything sounds wrong. Maybe it's
no, he sounds radio. He sounds all right, Animal. Don't harp on
okay.
this. Just go with it.
Okay, anyway. Okay. Now, before we get to guest on the show, Morgan, who I just told to hang up, we're going to have a lunch with a lawyer section. Lunch with a lawyer. Our good friend Charles Krugel is back with us today. K-R-U-G-E-L. And his family, very interesting, they built the first search engine way back in the 1950s, but they didn't make any money on it at all because they were too far ahead of the curve. So he became an employment lawyer. Instead of being an heir to billions, he became an employment lawyer in Chicago. And you can find him at Charles A. Krugel, K-R-U-G-E-L. com. Somebody told me his parents really, you know, they ran a bakery and they made potato pancakes or something like that, you know, called Krugel, but I don't know. I like the other version. Anyway, Charles, I was talking about contracts last week, and you offered to come on and answer my questions about them. Did you have a look at the contract I sent you?
Yes, I did.
Okay, so there's three main things. You don't have long on the show. We have to get back to Morgan.
Sure.
There's three main things I wanted to talk about. I'll just read the first one. Item number six, non-solicitation. The agency, including any of its subsidiaries, et cetera, agrees not to solicit directly or indirectly the employees of company XYZ for placement at any other company, corporation, et cetera, or any other entity whatsoever. There's no time for it. I'm the agency. So it says when I sign this contract and I'm working with them, there's no time frame attached. Now, do you have something to say? Tell me about that. It scared me.
Yeah, I don't think it's enforceable because you're right. There is no time frame. And so if somebody contacts you 6 months after your engagement is finished, you know, how can the company enforce that against you?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I mean, it's why you're here to tell me.
Yeah, I don't think they can enforce it against you. The rest of the contract also is pretty explicit, so that part being ambiguous seems to be a gap, a lapse in logic on the company's part.
Okay, but it says item number two says this agreement shall remain in effect until terminated by either party upon 60 days prior written notice to each other. What does that mean?
Basically, and that has no impact on the non-solicitation part. Just basically means that in order to terminate the agreement, one side has to give written notice within a 60 days notice to the other party.
So I can't just say, hey, I'm going to start recruiting your guys, but I have to give them 60 days notice before I start?
Actually, no. I mean, as far as I could tell, the non-solicitation part is in – it lasts forever.
That's ridiculous. What should I do? I mean, I want their business.
Redraft the agreement should be redrafted. It's a really one-sided agreement in general.
Okay, is it nonsense, though? I mean, is it a nonsense agreement? Is it just like a piece of paper that they want us to sign and no one takes seriously? Or can I really get in trouble with this?
No, it sounds like you can really get in trouble with it because, I mean, they indicate that it's New Jersey law that governs. There's, you know, they want a full refund of money with the not, you know, if they fire the person.
Yeah, what's that about? They're asking, they say if the guy, you know, doesn't last or the candidate doesn't, who's hired, doesn't last 90 days, they want a full refund of the placement fee. That's not, that's very unusual. Are they serious about that?
Apparently they are, and not only that, I mean, I would think it makes more sense to have a prorated fee based on the length of service that the person has. You know, if they have 30 days, then you maybe refund one-third of the fee or something like that.
Yeah, that's what some people do. Right. Okay, and there's one other issue I'll ask if anybody's got any questions. The agency will, it says, number point 4B, the agency will not be entitled to a fee for placement of a person at company XYZ who was referred to the company at any time by an employee or candidate. That sounds to me like something that often happens. If I send someone out and they chat this person up and they all talk about the people they know and they say, oh, you know anybody for this job? We need a plant engineer as well. And he says, oh, yeah, I know so-and-so and so-and-so. And they hire those people that they got from my candidate. Are they saying they don't have to pay me?
That's right, and it sounds pretty arbitrary. It basically gives them an out. So they could almost anybody that's referred to them by your candidate, it gives them an out to avoid paying you any fee, any commission.
How do you prove all that?
Oh, so this is a big company. Yeah, this is a big company, a leader in their field. They don't need me. I want their business. They got me over a barrel, don't you think?
Yeah, definitely. That's why I said it's a one-sided agreement.
Animal,
yeah, but I have to sign.
And,
yeah? Uh-huh.
And counselor.
Yep.
Aren't you free to add your own modification for their review now to say, okay, I looked at this, I've changed a couple things, let me know what you think.
Yeah, definitely.
And just chop that out.
Yeah, I would definitely make some sort of counteroffer or propose some counter language to them.
Mm-hmm.
I also think that if you actually believe that they don't need you, that you've already lost.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
From a business standpoint, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Dave Manister, he's been on the show for 4 years steady. He was on the first show, and he doesn't know enough to pick up the handset. Thank you. Luckily, I understood what you said, but it sounded like, I got a friend who always calls me when he goes to the washroom in a public place, and it sounds like an echo chamber, just like that. So,
hey, Animal, you're the one on a bad line here.
Is it hard to hear me?
Yeah, you're the fish underwater, Deal.
You're kind of
cutting
in
and out.
Yeah.
Sounds like cell phone.
Call back on a better line.
Okay. Let's just finish with Charles. Charles, did you enjoy that, or should I have given you better information?
Better? You mean regarding the agreement?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. I thought it was especially interesting the part about the notices, that all notices or all communications have to be in writing via certified or registered mail.
That's nonsense. I didn't even see that. Where
yeah.
is it?
That's number... number 9C, miscellaneous C, notices.
Oh, yeah, they dump a whole bunch of just legal mumbo-jumbo in at the end, right?
Oh, yeah, I mean, New Jersey law governs, so, I mean, you're in Canada, Toronto, how are you going to litigate something, if they stiff you on the payment, what recourse do you have?
Yeah.
But
anybody else want to talk
Charles,
about this?
I typically see that the clients expect a jurisdiction to be their local lawyering team. I mean, I see that frequently, and I've always thought that, well, you just have to go with it.
Well,
rather than,
you could also go with just federal law, federal jurisdiction in U.S. courts.
I don't think that's the biggest problem.
I'd stay away from it.
I think
I'd
the whole
Janice, you want to say something? Janice, you want to say something?
Yeah, I mean, we ran into this kind of thing last summer, and you guys really helped us on it. I think they're setting you up. I wonder if there's companies that actually set you up to get your people and intend to give you trouble afterwards, because there's too many provisions on this thing that you're going to go back and you're going to modify it, and they're going to say, no, our other recruiters accept it as it is, so we would expect that you would too. I see that coming also.
Yeah,
I
agree
with
you.
See coming.
The only thing I see out of the ordinary is that they make special mention of being able to referral people that they're interviewing through you. I've never seen that in any agreement at any time, ever. I always see their jurisdiction, and I always see some form of a guarantee. So the only thing I see out of the ordinary is we're going to refer your candidates. That tells me that they're thinking about it. I've never had anybody else mention it, and I wouldn't even know how you would even check up on anything like that. Hey, did they ask you about any other people? Did you tell them about any? I mean, how would you even? Yeah,
right.
I don't understand
exactly.
That.
There's lots of parts of this agreement that, I frankly just don't know how it would be enforced.
Okay, great. Okay, anybody else got a question? I heard somebody else say they wouldn't sign it. Who was that?
That was me, Morgan.
Morgan. Okay. So,
yeah.
Charles, let me say, Charles, thank you very much. If somebody's
sure.
got an employment law
I have one
question. Oh, okay, Maureen, go ahead.
All right. Did he just say the entire contract could not be enforced or parts of it could not be enforced?
No, I think parts of it, I don't know how it could be enforced. There's a separability clause that basically says if a court finds that parts of it are unenforceable or illegal, those parts could be stricken and the rest of the agreement as a whole would still be okay.
Doesn't that admit that they already know the agreement's not enforceable?
No,
you know what?
Charles, I see that. I see that in a vast majority of written agreements. That's pretty standard, isn't it?
Yeah, every agreement has some sort of a separability or severability clause. I've never actually seen it called separability. Usually it's called severability. You sever the clause from the rest of the agreement.
Do agreements have to have that?
No, they don't. But it
okay,
because
mine don't.
Yeah, it makes sense that they should. That they do.
Huh. Okay.
Thanks.
Okay. You know what? I got to tell you, we got to get to Morgan because Charles, you know, he's a great guy. You just have to. If you got a question based on what we talked about today, or any other employment law question. Just send me an email, recruitinganimal@gmail.com, and I'll set it up with Charles. He'll come back and spend another 10 minutes with us, you know, over the course of the year. Free legal advice on the Recruiting Animal Show. And his website is Charles A. Krugel, KRUGEL.com. Don't go, Charles. Morgan, do you have a question, the last question for Charles?
No, no question. I was just saying, I wouldn't sign something like that. I'd stay clear away from it.
Me too.
Yeah, it's good advice.
Okay, Charles, thank you very much.
Thank you, Animal.
Back. Okay, great to hear you again.
But on that topic,
Krugel.
I wouldn't stay away from it. I would just offer your modification.
Okay,
I mean,
that's
only
I'll
a starting
do.
Point.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
what I'll do. Yeah, they got me over the barrel. They're like a $1 billion company facing little old me. We'll see. I'll do it, and I'll tell everybody what happens. Okay, now here we are.